Should we test the mics? 1 2 1 2 1 2 1 2 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 8 9 10 1 2 1 2 1 2 okay 1 2 1 2 Hey, 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 and welcome to the political show right here on Axe FM. Radio has never been better. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix. And with me in studio we have
Gavin Inslin.
Pastor Gavin Inslin, right here on the political show where Christ politics is
hot politics.
Hot politics.
So Black Knight teach us again.
Yeah, unfortunately he's not here today, but we'll see him again.
I'm sure he's giving someone a lift.
Yeah. Yes. So this week's hot politics is to do with the, well, not necessarily the general Mkhwanazi case, but, you know, anyway, we're speaking about police right now in South Africa. General Mkhwanazi and stuff will be brought up. So, Pascal, do you want to give us a more brief explanation?
Yeah. So we've had the ad hoc committee that's been going on in Parliament, looking into the accusations of General Mkhwanazi. And, you know, so what happened last week was that the National Commissioner of Police, you know, he gave evidence before the committee, and then the MPs that are in that committee, they all asked, you know, questioned him. Some very concerning things came out there. And then General Sabir, who's one of the parties that after General Mkhwanazi put out his allegations, General Sabir was suspended. And then he gave evidence and he, you know, also was questioned. Funny thing is, Julius Malema wasn't there to ask him questions. And then it came out this week in the Matlanga Commission when there was a witness A who linked Julius Malema to a guy named Z and to General Sabir. All right. Yeah. So I mean, yeah. It's not one party.
Yeah.
And anyway, then all the MPs now. Late last week, Minister of Police Mtunu, he was giving his evidence, and on, was it Tuesday, the MP started questioning him. And all of them, they're trying to trick him, you know. And the first thing that I felt was he was raising issues about the political killings task team. And he was saying it's the national political killings task team, you know. And now people are trying to shy away from that, because if they shy away from that, then it comes under the purview of General Mkhwanazi if it's just for KwaZulu-Natal,
yeah,
for that province, because he's the provincial commissioner, you know, for police there. But if it's national, then it has to go under the national police commissioner, which means it wouldn't be under General Mkhwanazi. So there were questions about the budget, something like 500,000 for laundry and stuff like that. And I felt that that wasn't given a fair hearing by most people that were commenting. And the other thing that concerns me, and I think we must do a show about this in the future, was the fact that what they're claiming is that a cabinet minister does not have the right, legal right, to give orders to people they're leading. But I mean, if you're the minister of police, you're responsible for police, you need to have authority. And they're claiming that the national commissioner has, you know, that basically the Minister of Police is not their boss. But then you can vote, that means you can vote a new party in power, nothing's going to change. Because that means the bureaucrats that are in there are in control. And I don't agree with that, but I think we should deal with that separately. But so the questioning, you know, everyone's trying to catch him out. And then Glynis Buitendag from the DA, I think, just got right to what the issue is with the police in South Africa. And she asked questions that every one of us is asking. And as a pastor in South Africa, we've got the CRL Commission. We've done a show on that before, which wants to regulate the church. And I'm saying, sorry, that CRL Commission has been implemented by the same politicians that have messed up the police. They have no right to speak over us.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. That's number one. But number two, she started asking, you know, because these people are all in these positions earning huge salaries. And yet, people don't phone the police.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you now, the Minister of Police, if he has a break-in at his house, won't phone the police. He'll phone his security company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's probably got armed response at his house, and he's going to, and there's a company here called ADT and other ones like that. That's probably who the minister himself will call, the Minister of Police. And so we're gonna discuss that today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are talking about accusations. Are we surprised? And, you know, what is our thought about this whole situation as just ordinary South Africans?
Yes, it's going to be an interesting show. As always, right here on The Political Show, where Cries Politics is.
Hot Politics.
Hot Politics.
I've got a lot of WhatsApps. I'm going to put on The Political Show.
Mm-hmm.
A video. Black Knight, this is Gavin from The Political Show. You're saying, Black Knight, where are you?
This is Giggs from The Political Show saying, Black Knight, where are you?
This is Rory from The Political Show. It's very black. It's not nighttime. Where are you?
This is Tabula for The Political Show. Where are you?
Dude, we tried a call. Phones off. Where are you? It's on the group now.
That's gonna be funny.
Huh?
I said that's gonna be funny.
Okay. Are we ready for real stuff now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got the transcript?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we are looking at basically the events that took place during the ad hoc committee where the DAMP Glenys Breytenbach questioned Police Minister Senzo Mchunu at the ad hoc committee. So during the ad hoc committee session, DA, which is the Democratic Alliance, MP Glenys Breytenbach pressed Police Minister Senzo Mchunu on long-standing issues of corruption, lack of discipline and efficiency within the South African police services. Breytenbach challenged the minister on why the same problems, while known for more than a decade, in fact, she basically said that we all know that there's corruption in the police services here in South Africa. We've known for a while. So she was challenging them on why they're being presented as new revelations, questioning the purpose of the recent press conferences and inquiries. She accused SAPS leadership of allowing corruption and weak management to persist without consequence, citing a breakdown of discipline and failure in crime intelligence. Then we had Minister Mchunu, who acknowledged the ongoing concerns but argued that systematic reform takes time. He stated that efforts were underway to restructure the SAPS, improve morale and restore public trust. However, he conceded that corruption and crime remain serious challenges. Breytenbach also confronted that the minister confronted the minister over allegations of factional battles among senior police officials. He communicated with his communication with controversial figure Brown Moody, and his decision to go on special leave amid what she called a national policing crisis. The exchange grew tense as Breitenbach accused the minister of evading questions and failing to provide clear accountability, concluding that the public confidence in the SAPS has eroded and that leadership paralysis continues to cripple the service. So what are your thoughts on that outline of what was spoken about?
Well, one of the things that has become abundantly clear, as I said, do I think Senzong Chunu, the Minister of Police, is clean? Hey, there's a lot of underworld guys, eh?
Mm.
And you'll be judged by the company you keep. That's a biblical principle.
Mm.
So, his answers on that weren't very convincing to me. And also they were questioning him about how his decision, to disband the political killing stars team, one of these criminals actually sent the notification or the letter out,
yeah,
telling people that it was going to happen before it happened, like he was a prophet or something.
Mm.
So you got criminal prophets here in South Africa. Senzong Chunu's answers were not satisfactory to that, as neither were General Sabir. They were both very evasive and they tried to make their answers very long, which is very frustrating. So that's normally done by people who have got something to hide.
Yeah.
But General Mkhonazi has not been questioned enough about a political killing stars team that was, I think, initiated by a presidential decree in 2018 for 6 months.
Mm.
And the last time the tenure of this stars team, that the last time it was extended was in 2022. So it should have been disbanded.
Yeah.
Because unless there was a decision to extend it, it should have been disbanded prior to Senzong Chunu becoming the Minister of Police. And if you look at what they're spending money on, the most expensive hotels, their laundry bill, something like 500,000 rand and all of this. So those questions are not being asked of Mkhonazi. So I don't see Mkhonazi as being clean. In fact, I'm seeing he's going to lose his budget.
Mm.
And he's not going to be able to live so nice. If you know what I'm saying. I don't know. That's what I'm seeing. And a lot of the questions that have been asked, as I said, it really bothers me when you're telling me that if the Minister of Police gives a directive to the police and tells them to change course, that's not allowed under the law. Because the Minister of Police is an elected official. And the reason why I say they're an elected official is because the Minister of Police serves at the pleasure of the president.
Yeah.
And the president gets there via elections. And the way it works in South Africa is that we vote for, we have two ballots for our national elections. One is a national vote. We vote for a party and the party gets proportional representation in parliament based on the number of votes that each party got. And then we also have a provincial ballot and again, there's proportional representation in the provincial legislature for the same thing.
Mm.
And so now the members of parliament who are representing us now elect the president. And the president then selects their cabinet team, which means the Minister of Police and the president are elected officials.
Mm.
The National Commissioner of Police is not elected. So therefore, he has to report to the Minister of Police.
Yeah.
The Minister of Police has to be his boss. Glynis Buitendag herself was was horrified at that. And I'm saying, no, but it has to be like it. Because otherwise you vote another party into power and they put in a Minister of Police. The Minister of Police gives the National Commission order. He just says, I refuse to do that. And now you're saying legally there's nothing the Minister of Police can do about that.
Hmm.
I'm saying, no way, Jose.
Yeah.
I want to know that the National Commissioner is accountable to the Minister of Police, because he's elected.
Yeah.
The National Commissioner of Police is not elected, he's appointed.
Mm.
And I want to know that the National Commissioner of Police has to do what the Minister of Police says, because I vote for the Minister of Police.
Yeah.
So that's very disturbing for me. and that all these members of parliament are arguing like the Minister of Police doesn't have the power to give a directive to the National Commissioner of Police.
Mm.
He can give any answer any which way he wants to. Obviously, if it's an illegal thing, you know, that's a different matter. But then the National Commissioner of Police must resign in protest.
Yeah.
Which now, normally in a democracy, that puts the Minister of Police in an extremely uncomfortable position when the National Commissioner of Police resigns in protest, you know, at orders that they're receiving.
Yeah.
But I mean, that the National Commissioner of Police, therefore, in my view, in a democracy, either does what the minister ordered him to do. In this case, it's what's his name? Fani Masemola, that's it. So either he does what the minister orders him to do, or he resigns in protest and makes a speech. I've been ordered to do this. I believe it's illegal, so therefore I'm resigning in protest.
Yeah.
But he won't, because he's getting nice money there. How many people are giving him nice cash?
I mean, if people are if the part of the budget is 5,000 rand on laundry.
500.
500,000.
Yeah, it's not 5.
500.
I would have kept quiet if it was 5.
Even 5,000 on laundry, guys, what type of laundry are you doing? But
yeah, they live at a different level. But anyway, so Glynis Buitenbach now, first of all, they're asking the wrong questions.
Yeah.
And even a lot of your podcast political commentators, in my view, are asking the wrong questions.
Yeah.
There are some guys, and it's guys in the police who are saying, number one, Nkunazi is not clean.
Yeah.
Okay. They're ex-police officers, like generals and stuff, who are talking about when they had run-ins with Nkunazi.
Yeah.
And the thing is, all of this corruption, we know as South Africans is happening.
Mm.
We know that if you go to the police and you lay charges, the chances are, if that person that you've laid charges against for a crime, like we lay charges, you know, for people for theft or arson or stuff like that, the next thing, the docket just disappears.
Yeah.
Or when I had family members in my in-law side, who two of them were killed, it was basically culpable homicide, you know, car accidents. One was a drunk driver, and the other one was illegal towing on a highway, you know, that caused the deaths of his two family members. And the dockets just go missing.
Mm.
There's no justice in court. Now, the thing is, many South Africans can tell you this. So the fact that 121 dockets disappeared, guys, I wish it was only 121 dockets disappearing. There's thousands of dockets going missing every month.
Yeah.
And you go to the police to get a case number for insurance purposes.
Yeah.
You don't expect them to solve your cases.
Mm-mm.
And we absolutely have zero confidence in the police. I can promise you now, if a home gets broken into, no one calls the police.
No. I mean, we had a situation this year where we had people jump over our gate. And the only reason we went to the police was, so we obviously opened a case and stuff like that, was because we needed a case number for the insurance, like Pastor Gavin mentioned. And
in other words, if it wasn't for insurance,
yeah,
and the insurance requirement to give a case number, we wouldn't even report it.
Nope. And since then, like, they've not called, or we have not had an officer pass by to see whether or not what we put down in the statement actually happened, or all of these things.
Well, so, no, never mind that. They're supposed to investigate.
Yeah, no, there was zero investigation.
You know what used to happen when you got broken into?
No.
You would sit there and you don't touch anything in the house.
Mm.
And you contact the police. You don't touch anything in the house until the police get there.
Mm.
And then they take fingerprints and they do this and they do that. Okay, I remember in about 2004 or 2005, we got broken into.
Mm.
There was blood. One of the guys cut himself on one of the windows as they broke in the house. There was blood all over the place. There were fingerprints in the blood. I mean, there were fingerprints on the windows. So we get there, now we're waiting for these guys. We've been sitting there, and it was in winter, so the house was cold.
Oh, no.
We're sitting there the whole day waiting for this. The police got there at 6 o'clock that evening.
Sure.
And then they take our statements, And then, aren't you going to take fingerprints? Because that used to be the case.
Mm.
In apartheid South Africa, the police would come and take fingerprints. Now, what's the use of taking fingerprints?
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we we now, if we get broken into, we don't bother. We go to the police station.
Yeah.
And we tell them at the police station we've been broken into. And they took this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
And then we go and we fill in an insurance claim. And if there's an emergency, we do have armed response.
Yeah.
That we pay for every month. And we phone them.
Mm.
We phone the armed response. Mm. The police are just there to stop at us at roadblocks and to hassle us.
That is the sad reality. I mean, yes, there are police or people in the police force that are doing their job.
I just want to say.
Yeah.
That was like 2005.
Sure.
You won't even get there. I mean, did they come to us?
No.
At least then they still came. And just refused to take fingerprints.
Yeah.
Okay. Now they don't even do that.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So that's the sad reality of things. And I mean, yes, there are those that go into the police force and actually do their work and all of these things. But if we have to look at the majority case, what most people experience is that they cannot trust the police.
What, how do you tell which is the honest one?
Do you understand? I mean, there was a situation I think it was 2 years ago where my cousin was speaking to us and they were watching, they went to go watch a boxing match. It was happening at the race course here.
Turfentine.
Yeah, the Turfentine race course. And if you've ever been to like boxing matches, not just one match, you know, it's multiple matches. And then the main event is usually the last one and it will happen later in the evening and stuff
and everything
like that.
Builds up for that one.
Yeah. And so,
ladies and gentlemen, for the main event.
Yes. So they were then walking in the street. It was quite late at night, probably like 10 p.m., 11 p.m. They were walking they had just come out and they were walking, and then a police van stopped them. And stopped on the side while they were walking, and the guy on the passenger seat basically said they must start running. So they were like shocked at first, and then they started. He mentioned the moment he started running, there were other vans that popped up and they stopped them. So the first van that stopped basically was creating a scene for them to look like they were suspects of something. So that's the police we're dealing with. That's the corruption that we're dealing with. Like, they didn't have anything on them and stuff except for their phones and stuff like that, because if you're walking in the south of Johannesburg, you're not walking with a lot of stuff. But no,
you're not going to keep your stuff.
No, you're not. Yeah, so they couldn't.
If someone's walking with their phone and you phone them, then they're probably not going to answer.
Mm-mm.
Because the moment they answer, they're going to get robbed.
Yeah. So, like, hearing that story, already then we know that you can't trust. Now you're walking in the middle of the night and the police van stops you. You're not really just going to stop and now talk to them because of circumstances like that.
Can I tell you something even worse? Stuff,
yeah.
There was a Nigerian guy that early on in our church was in our church.
Mm.
And we actually, we used to have a program. We used to help people set up businesses. Mm. We don't do it anymore, but anyway. Okay. And never mind. I'm not going to go into why. But we'd help this guy, you know, set up a business where he fixed cell phones and stuff.
Mm.
And so one day he's walking and he had a bag full of cell phones, of customers that he was repairing and things. So anyway, the police stopped him. They put him, now it's a Nigerian guy. And they put him in the van. And if you know anything about Nigerians in South Africa, they have a reputation for being drug dealers. And so the cops said to him, give us these phones. If you don't, and then they held up a bag of drugs, we're gonna claim that we found this on you.
Sure. That's crazy.
This is 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's crazy.
Which sounds very similar to your story.
Mm.
So this guy had to go and explain to his customers now what happened to the phones.
No, it's very crazy. So that's what the when people think of police in South Africa, that is what they think about. Mm. So yes, there's the people doing the good and all of these things and stuff like that. But most South Africans, when you see a roadblock, most South Africans will think they want a money. Bribe.
They want cold drink.
Yes.
They're trying to get lunch.
You even start knowing. We even know now the hidden roadblocks. Then you're like, these ones are not supposed to be here. They want a bribe and things like that. What's this? So roadblock, first thing South Africans think about is bribery. When South Africans are, broken into, the first people they don't think about is the police.
No, you think, oh no, I have to go to the police station now and I have to log a case. I'm going to have to stand in the queue because I want to fill in an insurance claim.
That's the unfortunate truth and stuff. And this is what Brayton Dach was basically speaking about, where she mentioned that we all know this already. So this story with Mkonazi and all of these things, it's nothing new. And people are prolonging something that isn't supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, all right, look, I'm going to say, the way I judge President Cyril Ramaphosa on this, because I have a right, because I'm paying my taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I have a right to judge him, because I'm paying him my taxes.
Yeah.
And I don't believe I'm getting back what I'm paying for. If Ramaphosa was doing the proper job from a legal perspective, and even from a managerial perspective, a leadership perspective, and what the populace of South Africa expects.
Yeah.
The only guy who would be safe in that job is Mthunu, the Minister of Police.
Mm.
And the only reason why is he was only appointed to the position of Minister of Police, I think it was in July last year, after the May 2024 elections.
Mm.
So when he made this decision to disband the political killing stars team, he'd only been in the job about 6 months.
Mm.
And one of the things he said was they were busy with an organizational restructure. And he was concerned about other murders that are taking place that are not receiving the priority. And that potentially is true.
Mm.
General Fani Masemola, he's been in this job a long time. Eh?
Mm.
And he's risen up the ranks in the police. The fact that he rose up the ranks, that he was able to ascend to the position of National Commissioner, tells me he should be fired. General Mkonazi should be fired, because that political killing stars team is sitting with dockets that nothing has happened on since something like 2022, or even earlier than 2022, where those dockets that he was complaining about, some of those dockets have not been opened since 2022. Nothing's happened on them. Mm-hmm. Okay? So General Mkonazi should be fired. General Sabir should be fired.
Mm.
Right? And there needs to be a major organizational overhaul and find, is there any guy in the police that deserves their place? I mean, what came out, and this is what's absolutely disgusting, and no one's really talking about this factor. They were asking General Fani Masemola about the police clearance.
Mm.
You know? Either a national commissioner or a provincial commissioner has to have top secret security clearance.
Yeah.
They've got to be able to see intelligence information.
Yeah.
Okay. So General Mkonazi still made an issue of it. Diane Collar-Barnard, one of the members of the ad hoc committee from the DA, where she raised issues in committee in parliament, which General Mkonazi said that she should be arrested for that because she violated, the law on exposing top secret documents.
Mm.
But now, as part of General Mkonazi's job, he has to have top secret security clearance.
Yeah.
He's been in the job since something like 2022 or 2018 or I don't know. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
He doesn't have clearance. You know what's worse? 5 of the 9 provincial commissioners don't have top secret security clearance. It's a requirement for the job. And then there was questioning around General Fani Masemola about why is this not happening? And then he says, no, there's thousands of cops who don't have security clearance. What are you doing about it?
Yeah.
Rubbish, rubbish, rubbish. You start speaking all of the nonsense.
Yeah.
They're doing nothing. right there, the president should have stepped up and said, Fani Masamola is fired because he's completely incompetent.
Mm.
I mean, the best case scenario for these guys is that they're completely incompetent at their jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, to allow the cops to become, get into a position where they're so derelict, where they become so useless to the country. I don't even believe they should be fired. I believe they should be criminally charged for criminal negligence.
Yeah.
One of the cameras just go off. Can we just check that one of the cameras just go off? Hey? I heard click. Huh? Then you carry on. And then they can just switch the shot to you and then.
Yeah. So in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11 it says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them.
South Africa's story completely and utterly exposes what happens when you keep things in the dark.
Yeah.
And, one of the things I say to young people in the church is that young people in South Africa, the number one command is thou shalt not snitch. All right, and that's the number one command in Parliament as well. Thou shalt not snitch on members of thine own party.
Mm.
If it be from the other party, well, depends. Are we doing the same thing? If we're doing the same thing, thou shalt not snitch.
That's true.
If you can make them look bad without incriminating yourself, then attack them with all your might.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, what I want to say is where this comes down to as well is our own personal lives. We need to put a priority on being honest.
Yeah.
We need to put a priority on placing ourselves in the position where we're people of integrity. And the only way you become people of integrity is you stop having any dealings with the fruitless works of darkness, and also you put Jesus first and you ask Jesus to do his work, because the Bible promises in that same book of Ephesians that God will give you the power.
Mm.
To do the good works that please him.
Yeah.
So if you want to please God, then turn to God.
Mm.
Because God works in you to produce that out of you, which he wants you to produce.
Amen.
So put Jesus first. Make him your all.
Mm.
And, your life's going to go from strength to strength.
Amen. This has been an amazing show. As always, right here on Active FM, radio has never been better. Let us know your thoughts on the comments below. My name is Cynthia, but you can call me Gix. And with me in studio, we have
Gavin Enslin.
Pastor Gavin Enslin, right here on The Political Show, where Christ Politics is
Hot Politics.
Hot Politics.